It's kind of a weird thing, folks. You know, when you have these Thursday preseason games, especially to end the season, things get a little weird inside your head. You can't remember what day it is. You can't remember what hour it is. You can't even remember what week it is. But yes, indeed, the Patriots beat the Giants 28-20. And the final cuts have to be in by Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Our number here, or go hashtag Giants Chat as we prepare you for what is known as the Turk in the National Football League. That is when teams do make their final cuts. They are at 75 right now. They have to get to 53. And obviously we will talk all about what the Giants might do over the course of the next hour here on Giants.com. Now, we do have three injuries to report. No updates from last night, but in case you did not stay up late, you will not have known that Andre Brown suffered what is being called a slight fracture of his leg. It's of his lower leg, the same leg that he fractured last season. The Giants are going to send him for extra tests today, and we do not know at this point how long he will be out. Andre Brown is hopeful and believes that it will not be a season-ending injury. However, it's pretty clear he's going to miss some time. The Giants also have safety Tyler Sash, who has himself a concussion. Kind of feels like I have one this morning. You know, you just don't get much sleep after these night games. And so he will obviously be out until he can pass the NFL's concussion tests. In addition to that, Adrian Robinson, the backup tight end, injured his left foot in the game. He left on crutches, and while x-rays were negative and they know nothing is broken, he also will be going for tests today to determine how long he will be out. He also does not believe that he has suffered a season-ending injury. So that gets you caught up on what happened last night in terms of the medical report. The Giants starters did play for three possessions in the first quarter. I think it was 18 snaps for just over 100 yards, of which 91 of those yards came on a 10-play touchdown drive, capped by an Eli Manning 3-yard pass to Akeem Nicks that put the Giants on top 7-0. But, of course, the Patriots were able to rally in the fourth quarter, as we told you, to win this one 28-20. The Giants did get their starters in for the first quarter. Also, a couple of members of that starting offensive line were able to play into the second quarter, specifically James Brewer, who moved out from left guard to left tackle, and Justin Pugh, the rookie right tackle, who stayed at right tackle for the better part of the first half. So the Giants now will prepare not only for the cutdown, but for the Dallas Cowboys a week from Sunday night on a nationally televised game. Guys who did not play in this game, and it's interesting, as I told you folks the other day on this program, usually when you look at that fourth preseason game, you look at the healthy scratches, and that's a good place to start when you make your final cuts. Well, the guys who did not play last night are all injured. Hosley coming off of an ankle, Hynoski coming off of a leg, Boss with a knee, Deal with a thumb, Moore with a shoulder, Cruz with a heel, Martin with a knee, and Pierre-Paul with a back. Those were your scratches last night, the guys who did not play. Everybody else on the roster got into the game. And so that does make things a little bit more difficult as you try to figure out the Giants' cuts. Indeed, there are 22 guys who have to be gone by tomorrow at 6 p.m. Of course, there's always injured reserve. If you put a guy on IR, he is done for the season, but at least he will be part of the franchise, although not part of the 53. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to our first call. It is Dan from the Poconos. You're first on today's program. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Well, just listening to everything you said, you know, definitely got everyone up to date. But I wanted to talk about being that, you know, the injuries that seem to bite us in the defensive secondary, and of course now with Andre Brown. I was thinking it's probably going to be out of the question for us to kind of carry more than two quarterbacks going into the season, right? Because of, well, you know, we need those position players, wouldn't you think? Or,
well, here's the problem. You drafted Nassib in the fourth round, and it's really much too soon to give up on him. Now, he has been very erratic, and quite frankly, I thought he would perform a little bit better in the preseason games than he did. He didn't get an opportunity to work with the higher-level players until last night when he was the second quarterback in the game. Nonetheless, he did not look that good. I will tell you, you know, I don't care what the numbers are. 4 of 9 for 37 yards. You know, they're not impressive, but quite frankly, it was a tough go. Now, I just don't see them cutting him. I just don't see it happening. I mean, you know.
I know. You hate to give up on a kid, but, you know, he's got some promise. You never know what's going to happen with him.
Well, here's the other problem, though. Quite frankly, and I'm a David Carr guy, anyone who's ever listened to me knows that I like David Carr. I think he's a good teammate. He's a good guy to have around. I think he's a quality player. I think he's one of the better backups in this league. I think he can make you competitive, especially over a short period of time. However, he did not have a very good preseason. I can't deny that. I thought Curtis Painter had a worse preseason.
Yeah.
And so, let's just say this. Based on what I saw from Carr and Painter and Nassib during this preseason, the Giants do not have a Jeff Hostetler on the roster. How about that?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I still tend to think they will go with three quarterbacks. But yes, this is going to be a very difficult 24 hours or so for the coaching staff. There is no question about that.
My, I have no, you really, I've never, that must be a tough situation, boy. I can't even think about the stress involved with that.
No kidding, man, because you got to rob Peter to pay Paul because you need one position to be filled, and then you're going to have to shortchange another. It is nasty business. And the coach will tell you, Tom Coughlin, as steely-eyed as everybody thinks he is outside of this building, the bottom line is this guy really has a heart. And when he sees guys breaking their buns to try to make the team, and he's got to look the guy in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I need your playbook, it's time to go, it's a killer.
Yeah.
It hurts
like
him.
Like those guys.
It
like
hurts him.
Cox and James last night, those two guys are fighting, and they look like they're giving all their effort. And, you know, I'd hate to see, they both look promising, but, I mean, especially Cox. But, you know, I don't know about James, if he's going to make it, or that's just one decision among many.
I would be shocked if Michael Cox does not make this team. Charles James has got himself a problem because I'd love to see him make it. And I think between him and Tremaine McBride, it's razor thin. I think James maybe has a slight edge. But you know what the deal is? He can go to the practice squad because he's a rookie. McBride's a six-year vet. If you want to try to gamble and keep them both, you got to try to waive James and sneak him onto the PS. If you don't want to gamble, then you have to make a decision, and you know you're only going to have one of them.
Right.
It's a tough call. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, you're welcome, Paul. Thanks. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Paul Tatino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Ed from Maryland, you are next on the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was watching their preseason game last night, and, you know, the first two drives, I believe, we were stagnant, and I was frustrated because the offense wasn't moving the ball. And then the last drive when we scored a touchdown, I was very pleased. Started the ball around the 10-yard line, moved the ball 90 yards, got the touchdown in the red zone. So I was very happy. At that point, I was just telling myself, okay, the starters have done their job. They should come off the field. Andre Brown, I consider him to be a starter. And I was just watching him play. He was getting carries. He was getting carry after carry, pounding the ball. And it seemed like he started to limp before he fractured his leg. And my question is, why was he in the game late second quarter? He's considered a starter. We have other backs on our roster. We have Ryan Terrain, Darrell Scott, Michael Cox, who's a rookie. If Andre Brown is a starter and a key cog for the Giants this season, why is he playing with Ryan Nassib? Why is he playing behind a third-string offensive line? And I'm not saying this in hindsight. This is what I was saying while he was getting the ball. Like, it's like they wanted to give him 20 carries, you know, for the game, for the fourth preseason game. Then he gets hurt. And so I was very upset at that. So I want to know, why was he in the game and not Michael Cox with Darrell Scott, who's on the bubble? Why weren't they getting those carries?
Well, you got a couple of reasons here, and there are many, but I'm going to try to put them in some semblance of order. First of all, Andre Brown is your best pass protector among your running backs, and it would be very unfair to put Ryan Nassib in there in the second quarter, okay, with the second unit offensive line, and then expect anybody else to give him a chance in the backfield. Michael Cox is a terrific kickoff return guy. He's a terrific guy on special teams coverages. But right now, he does not know the running back's playbook, and he certainly does not know anything about pass protection. And if you watch the rest of the game, you saw in the fourth quarter, he was a disaster trying to help out that offensive line.
That's true, but you could say the same thing with playing James Brewer at left tackle, who was getting beat left and right. I mean,
okay, but you don't have a choice there, because at that point in time, you know, you're using your quote experienced lineman. I'm not necessarily a big James Brewer fan, but he's an experienced lineman who's been in this league before, and you have to say, look, go out there and do what you do. You have to give him some type of points for being experienced and hope that he can get the job done. You can't throw Michael Cox out there because he is as raw as a green piece of celery, and he would have gotten Nassib killed.
That makes sense, but you know, I'm just saying, like, a guy like James Brewer was brought in to be a right tackle. He's been practicing a right tackle, right guard, left guard. He's out of place at left tackle. He was getting beat, and now also was getting Ryan Nassib beat. If you have a concern about Michael Cox pass protection, what about Darrell Scott? This is his third year with the team. He should know the playbook enough to.
Darrell Scott is still very raw. I'm not thinking right now that he has much of a chance to make the 53. When he's had opportunities to produce in the past, he has not gotten it done. And, you know, even with this injury to Andre Brown, I'm not sure that Darrell Scott is going to sneak on to the 53. I would also mention this to you. The Giants at that point were also trying to get some semblance of a running game going. And Andre Brown technically is the backup to David Wilson. I think we all agree Wilson is the star guy, right? I mean, I know you consider Brown a starter. But I think David Wilson is really the starter. And so Brown's not a starter.
If you want to be technically and say that David Wilson is no one back, then that's fine. But on the depth chart, as far as I read, they're co-starters.
And I know, but that depth chart is unofficial. It does not mean anything.
So you're justifying Mr. Andre Brown coming out the game while he's in there with other third-string players. And if he's going to be a key player this year, you're probably getting about 200 carries or so. You're justifying him staying in the game to pass protect a rookie quarterback.
I'm saying to you that Andre Brown is not a 200 carry. Well, he's not a 200 carry back. First of all, I don't think in the Giants' scheme of things he's going to be that much of a carrier with the ball. I think you're overvaluing him, to be honest.
I think he will, because David Wilson is a nice speed back. He's a change of pace, but he's a change of pace back to the bruising back. I think. Down the season, if Andre Brown got the chance, he would have gotten maybe 1,000 yards, the average 5 yards a carry.
I don't see that.
Probably would have had 2,000-yard rushes. So I'm not going to downplay Andre Brown's value just to justify him playing in the fourth preseason.
I think Andre Brown's value to this team would have been more in snaps to help out with the offense, not necessarily touches. I still believe that the touches would have heavily favored David Wilson. Ed, I got to run. I got to get so many more people onto this program, but thanks for calling. John from New York. John, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. I'm always happy to talk to you. You're the only person who ever gets me to call this show.
Well, that's awfully kind.
And this morning, I actually have a question about, you know, the Andre Brown situation. I want to start off by saying, you know, the injuries to both Browns are really unfortunate, you know, considering the paths they've taken to become contributors for us.
Right.
But, you know, I'm looking at the Andre Brown situation, and I think it's pretty clear to me, you know, from watching the snaps this preseason, you know, getting out to actually both of the preseason games and seeing David Wilson in person, that, I mean, this guy's the home run hitter. Like, if we're talking, you know, looking forward to the future of our franchise, the development of David Wilson, I think, is something that, you know, we need to look for to keep our offense potent going forward. Do you think now that the injury with Andre, you know, regardless of how long he's out, whether it's 4 or 6 weeks or longer, do you think maybe it forces us to take the baby gloves off of David Wilson? And as you said to the last caller, you know, both get him the touches that we expected, but have him need to be out on the field for those snaps with Eli. I know, you know, we're taking the risk of him not protecting quite as well, but I think maybe forcing him into the fire as our every down back, you know, might reap benefits for us, because everybody's talking now about how he's a fantasy stud, and I just wonder maybe if this is the opportunity he needs for him to really take off.
Well, here's the thing. Again, playing time does not necessarily equate to touches. I have always believed that the Giants were going to skew the touches to David Wilson. There was never a doubt in my mind. He's the number one pick. That's why he's here. He is a big play guy. You saw what he did against the Jets, right?
Yeah, I was at that game. He was running towards me, as a matter of fact.
Me too. I was on the Giants sideline as well.
Yeah,
so
he's fast.
Yeah, and that's what he does. So there's no doubt in my mind they would skew the touches his way. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't going to split the playing time 50-50, or that it would be a lot closer to 50-50 in terms of the snaps. That's because of the other stuff that Andre Brown brings to the table, specifically in pass protection and the smarts of reading different defenses and even running routes into the flat. As Eli Manning explained to me one day a couple of weeks ago, sometimes the running back running the flat route, okay, will suck a linebacker up and will give extra room to maybe the tight end on an underneath route.
Absolutely,
and so it can be a very critical part to the game that a guy like David Wilson, if he hasn't mastered it yet, you're going to hurt yourself if you put him out there too much. So I guess what I'm saying to you is I still don't think the touch numbers are going to change much. I think David Wilson's still going to get the amount of touches that we've always expected, regardless of Andre Brown's injury. The question becomes now, what do the Giants do? How long is Andre Brown out? And who do the Giants bring in, if anybody, to take his place and to fill that role? Do they ask Ryan Terrain to step up and take over? Do they ask...
I did notice him picking up the blitz last night. He looks pretty good.
Well, you know, he's a veteran, and I know that when they signed him last year, they had a lot of high hopes for him. I'm not sure that what I've seen in the summer camp and in the preseason makes me that comfortable saying he's the best option. I know that Michael Cox is too raw to do it. I don't think
out of the three that we have on the roster,
he's
like,
the guy.
Where do you think David Wilson ranks as our pass protector? Is he the best option on the roster right now?
Right now, of the guys on the roster, Ryan Terrain is the guy. There's no question. The guys on the roster today, I'm not so sure that either Terrain or Scott are going to be here after 6 o'clock tomorrow night, though. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm not. Quite frankly, we mentioned it on the radio broadcast last night, and I think anybody who was writing articles or talking on TV has probably brought up the name Brandon Jacobs just as I have. Because there is no question that you talk about a power back, a guy who knows the system, a guy who can pass protect, a guy who can do some stuff in short yardage, a guy who is really still very hungry to play, and who, by the way, visited Giants training camp only a week ago to come here and see practice and was really very energized by that afternoon. I feel very comfortable telling you that Brandon Jacobs would like to be here, and I believe he can help. But it is not my decision.
I follow him on Twitter, so I think everybody who does knows that he really wants to get back in uniform for us.
Anyway, I appreciate the call, John.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. You too now. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Jeff from Rhode Island. Hello, Jeff. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Morning, Paul.
Morning. All right. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I was just up your parts last night. How about that?
What's that?
I said I was just up your parts last night.
Yeah, you were. You were just on the road a piece.
I
live in just about 5 miles north of Providence, so I wasn't too very far away.
All right.
I heard you mention Pete Athis the other day in passing. And one thing you got to say about Pete Athis, he did have a beautiful head of hair.
and a very, very 70s mustache, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to love the way he'd take off his helmet and run his fingers through his hair.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
A lot of girls must have been loving that. Yeah, I had called to see if there was any indication to see how long Andre Brown might be out. And also, you know, I got to tell you, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was getting some really, really good positive vibes about this team, and I thought they were going to do very well, you know, barring any serious injuries. We don't know how serious the injuries are going to be that they've had so far, or what the outcome might be, but at this point in time, I'm not quite as upbeat as I would say 6 or 7 weeks ago, but just hoping for the best, and somebody else is going to get a chance, and they'll have to step up, and, you know, that's just the way it is.
The only thing I could tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity, is that the Giants personnel department and this front office is always very hard at work scouring not only the rosters of other teams to find out if anybody could get cut that might help, but they're very, very studious about street free agents as well. And that's why when I told people during the offseason that, you know, they hadn't brought in any other linebackers, I mean, they really do, like I say, comb through this thing as best as possible. And Dan Connor was like the best thing out there. You know, they took a flyer on Curry. It didn't work out. But that shows you the dearth of talent on the street at linebacker. They did not go out and pick up any other running backs. You know, Tim Hightower came in for a couple of workouts, but ultimately they passed on him. Now, maybe he's an option right now. I think Brandon Jacobs is a better one, but it also shows you when Hanoski went down, they didn't go out and really get another true fullback. I mean, they had a couple of bodies in here to fill camp out, but they know what they're doing. They go shopping on a regular basis up and down the shelves to check out what's there, and they read the labels very carefully.
Well, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do their due diligence, for sure. There's no doubt.
So let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens. Let's see who they put on the field against the Cowboys a week from Sunday, because I'm going to tell you something right now. The guys who are on this roster at 6:01 tomorrow night, the guys at the back end better be careful. Because I still think the Giants got moves to make, and I don't think the 53 you see Saturday night is going to be the 53 that plays Dallas the following weekend. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, Paul, you have a good day now.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you. 201-939-4513. Paul Tatino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's hit a couple of Twitter questions up before we go right back to the phone calls. And we've got, oh my goodness, so many of them here. People are just pounding the computer. Daryl G13 says, who do we bring in now that Brown is hurt? What are the chances of Jacobs coming back? Love to see that. I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of Andre Brown questions and Brandon Jacobs comments. We've already expressed our feelings here in the studio about that. And I'm sure that the fans echo similar sentiments, so I'm not going to read too many of those since we pretty much would have repeat after repeat after repeat. Question about Adrian Robinson. We told you right now, left foot injured and going for more tests today. X-rays were negative last night. He is very hopeful that this will not be a long-term thing. New York Giants Cap Central does want to know if short-term IR is a possibility for Andre Brown. Well, folks, to explain that deal, your players have to be on your 53. Then on September 4th, you can designate a player for the short-term IR, which means you lose him for half the season. You only get one of those moves per season. So, you know, would the Giants want to use that on Andre Brown? Would they want to use that on David Deal? Would they want to hold it and maybe use it for somebody else? Boy, again, a very tough question to answer. I think the first thing they got to find out from the physicians is exactly what the deal is with Andre Brown and if, in fact, his optimism is warranted and he won't be lost for the season. But we will not know that until later on today. We have Stephanie Little says, why don't we trade Ryan Nassib to the Raiders for a fullback and a tight end? Because the quarterback situation's so messy. I don't think that's going to happen. Let's see here. Nickster says, at this point, it'd be a lot easier to tell us who is not injured. Okay. Okay, let's see what else. All right, that's about it for now. And let's go to, Ted Crum, one more. He says, Charles James made the team last night? Question mark. I think he did. Both he and McBride outplayed Ross all of preseason. I totally disagree. I think Aaron Ross had a good preseason. I think he had an outstanding summer training camp, and I think the Giants are thrilled to have him. And then finally, I might add, Saraceno says, Patterson and Terrell Thomas make the 53, no question. Do you agree? Terrell Thomas. Oh, my goodness. Can we talk about something good? I got Ash here sitting here producing with me this morning. Terrell Thomas is making this team. He got through both of these preseason games healthy. He played well. He had a good summer camp. Everybody's been pulling for him. And I'm telling you, Terrell Thomas is, to me, a lock to make the 53. And what a great story it is. I talked to him after the game last night. He feels good. He believes he's done enough. I think Tom Coughlin believes he's done enough. And we'll leave that one at that. Mike Patterson, another tough call. He and Marvin Austin in a battle. Patterson made another big play last night. You know, do you want the veteran or do you want the young guy? You know, I think I might be inclined to go with Patterson because I think I'd like to see the Giants do something this year. I think they're a playoff contender. I'd be more inclined to go with the guy who can help right now. But Marvin Austin is younger. He probably has more long-term upside, at least if you still believe in his potential. And, of course, he is signed for next year and at a cheap rate. Patterson's on a one-year contract. So the business aspect of this, in addition to Austin being a second-round draft choice, make it very sticky. I would tend to think they might be leaning toward Austin. Again, I would probably lean toward Patterson, but I don't have those other issues pulling at me. I'm just going by what my eyes see on the field. 201-939-4513. Jason from Montana, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, first of all, it's unfortunate when someone goes down with injury. I mean, it's just never nice. A lot of people, the point is that, I don't know, Brown's durability is just a big question. I mean, this is like the third season-ending leg injury he's had.
Well, we don't know if it's season-ending, so let me stop you right there. But there is little doubt that Andre Brown, over his five-year career, whether it's been here or about four or five other places that he's had pit stops, has had trouble staying on the field. In fact, he has never been on the field for more than 10 games in any one season. And that is why, actually going into the offseason, I raised questions about the depth at the running back on this team.
Right, right. And you're right. He was being used as a second back, and about the amount of carries where the playing time is basically he would be in there for more or less blocking. But the point is that, I don't know, I saw some good aspects of the game last night. I think we did fairly well on stopping the run. I think that that was an interception in the end zone. But what are you thinking about how Webster's doing?
Well, I'm a Corey Webster guy. And I make no bones about that. And I believe that he is going to have a bounce-back season. I thought he played well last night. You know, he's been nagged with a little bit of a groin injury over the course of the preseason and training camp. So he hasn't gotten all the snaps that he otherwise would have. But from what I've seen, I do think that Corey Webster will have the bounce-back year that I have promised. And I'll tell you something else. You know, you talk about, you know, that secondary. And I just think it's a lot better than people give it credit for. I really do.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Mundy's going to be okay. I'm a big Entrell Roll fan who, by the way, really, really took a chance last night.
Yeah, he looked good yesterday.
And he looked good doing it. You know,
yeah.
Coming off of a sprained ankle, I talked to him after the game, and I interviewed him on the postgame show. I said, this was a very gutsy call. And he's like, I had to get out there. He wanted to work with Ryan Mundy. He understood that him and Mundy haven't had many snaps together, and he said he felt he needed to get some snaps with Mundy before the regular season game against Dallas. He wanted to be out there with his guys, and he wanted to see if they could get that secondary cohesive. Remember, because Webster's missed some time, and because now Stevie Brown is out, that secondary has really not had a lot of time to play together.
Right. And, Ross is looking good.
He does.
Boston a lot better.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Paul, I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. 201-939-4513. Paul Tatino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Marcus from Georgia, you are next on the program. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What do you have for us today?
Hi. My concerns were pretty much piggybacking on everybody else's about the Andre Brown situation. I was just thinking about, and then it came to me then, listening to you guys talking about Jacobs possibly could return. I was like, wow, that would be great. You know, so I don't know what shape he's in and what physically or whatever, but it would be great to have somebody with some prior Giants experience that has some years under their belt that could probably help and can go right in. But I do believe and I do think that Darrell Scott deserves a chance. You know, playing with the first team offensive line would give him some room to run. You know what I mean?
Well, here's one thing you need to understand, Marcus. I don't want to cut you off, but there's something you have to understand about Darrell Scott. He's not a power back. He's more of a scat back and a speed back. And right now, the Giants are more in need of a power back and also a guy who's adept at pass pro. And those are two things that Darrell Scott, I don't think, is, regardless of his inexperience. Those are not his best traits.
Interesting. What do you guys think also about Ramsey Barden versus Darrell Jernigan? From what I've seen, I could be wrong, but I think that Ramsey Barden gives them the better production just over the course of the last few years from what I've seen. And you can tell me your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I'll tell you something very simply, and then we're going to let you go. Ramsey Barden did not do himself any favors by coming down with a knee injury and not being able to play in the last two preseason games. Coach is very, very full of stress and agita over guys who can't stay on the field. That really bothers him a lot. And Ramsey Barden just did not do himself any favors at all. And quite frankly, Jarrell Jernigan, he's had a lot of trouble staying on the field. And then when he gets on the field, he's extremely inconsistent. I would say this to you. If it were me, I would actually keep Barden over Jernigan. If it were me. I didn't think Jernigan did a whole lot last night. Had two targets, only one catch for 6 yards. I think the Giants have found guys who can help on special teams. So I don't think the argument about Jernigan playing special teams means much to me. They're both third-round draft picks. I'll tell you what. Neither guy has really risen to the top of the beer can. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're both gone and the Giants wind up picking up a fifth wide receiver off the waiver wire over the weekend. How about that? I said it on the pregame show last night. I'm going to stick to it. I don't think Jernigan and Barden are going to be here come the Dallas Cowboys game. But remains to be seen. Steve from Staten Island, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you, buddy?
Hi, I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right, not bad. Paul, you know what? I'm probably going to be in the minority here with this one as far as bringing Jacobs back.
Okay.
And look, not to take anything away from him, okay, when he was here, do I think he was productive? Oh, sure. Did he have some great games? Absolutely. But if you noticed him the last 2 years of his season of him playing with this team, as big as he is, you know what? How many third and shorts didn't he come through because he would tippy-toe his way over? I mean, you can't have that. And I get what you're saying, that you need a guy that's a power runner, a bruiser, a guy that can move that line. And you know what? Yeah. I'll give you Darrell Scott. He doesn't fall into that bracket, but I'll tell you, you got these kids for a reason. It's time somebody mans up and says, you know what, I'm going to be that guy. I like Scott. I liked him 2 years ago when Coughlin put this kid out there. I thought this kid showed something. This kid's definitely got a little speed, and he knows how to use his body the right way, and he can move the pile. I've seen, you know, you see glimpses of that. As far as Michael Cox is concerned, that's another one. These kids are diamonds in the rough. I mean, honestly, I don't think they need Jacobs. And if you want to go out there and try and find that big bruiser back, and I could be wrong, but I'm hearing Michael Turner is still available. I'll tell you now.
He is.
It's not the Jacobs or Turner. Obviously, you know, and I'm being honest, who I go with over that, you know, in that respect. And if I could, just on the defensive side of the
sure.
ball real quick, Paul, All right, Brown is down, but you know what, though? I can definitely see Romo airing out that ball on Sunday, testing the Prince and testing who was ever on that side of the ball. I love the fact that Terrell Thomas is looks good. I think he's going to be a big contributing factor. Love that Ross is back. You got the Ross and Roll show back, and if you're a Giant fan, you got to like that. But my question to you is are we going to see more blitzing packages from Perry Fuel? Because, listen, you know a quarterback like Romo, your prototypical gunslinger, a guy that can roll out, you got to keep him from really getting out of that pocket a lot. And I think with the linebackers we got, there's no reason why this team shouldn't step up and hit and really get in Romo's face and kind of force him to put that ball up, so to speak. And I want to know what you want to think about that. And thanks for taking my call, Paul.
All right, well, let's go through the defensive question first. The Giants, much like other teams, would love to be able to get heat with the front four without taking the risk of a blitz. Now, you know as well as I do, they're very vanilla in the preseason. And so maybe about the only couple of things that you've seen that really give you an indication as to what Perry Fuel is thinking, you've seen the Williams-Paysinger two-linebacker set in the sub-package. I think that's very obvious. That's something we'll probably see some of this year. You've seen Cullen Jenkins go out and play some defensive end. That's very obvious. You're going to see some of that during the regular season, too. But other than that, I don't know that you've really seen a whole lot about what Perry Fuel is going to do during the regular season. Quite frankly, Tony Romo, to me, has made more plays against the Giants on rolling out of the pocket and improving than he's ever made in the pocket. So to me, it's all about containment. It's not necessarily about sending a bunch of blitzers, because if you flush him, that's when he tends to burn this team. I don't want to flush Tony Romo if I'm Perry Fuel. I want to just collapse the pocket, make the walls close in on him, and deal with him that way. I think that's how you get to Tony Romo. So I'm not necessarily looking for a high blitz number a week from Sunday night. I'm looking for guys to maintain their rushing lanes, to shut down the Cowboys' running attack, to take that play action away from Romo so he is forced to set up shop in that pocket and watch the walls collapse. That, to me, has always been the best way to attack Tony Romo. Now, in terms of Michael Turner, yes, he's out there. Yes, he ran for 800 yards for the Falcons last year and averaged 3.5 yards a carry. Okay? He is a power guy. He goes 5'10", about 250. We all know what Jacobs is. You know, I still think he's probably around 265 or so. Big 6'4", monster of a man. I would maintain this to you. Brandon Jacobs has more rushing touchdowns than anyone in New York football Giants history. He didn't get that number by being a bad short yardage guy. Now, in those seasons that you refer to, when he was not very good in picking up the third and one, there were many reasons. Partly because he was banged up and he had knee injuries. He's healthy now. He's basically been out of the game for a year. So he's healed. He's also determined. In addition to that, sometimes he became tentative, as did Ahmad Bradshaw at times, because the offensive line did not block very well. Now, I don't know right now what the state of this offensive line is going to be, because they've had four different starting offensive lines over the course of the four preseason games. So I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like or what they're going to produce a week from Sunday against the Cowboys. But beyond all of those things, Brandon Jacobs is a firecracker. He is a guy who lights a fire in that huddle, who gives those guys a sense of urgency, who gives those guys some kind of pizzazz and pop. And that offensive huddle right now is really, really flat. We keep hearing about how they have to pick up tempo, how they have to get a fire, how they have to get going. Well, if Tom Coughlin really wants that, Brandon Jacobs is the spark plug who can make that happen emotionally, vocally, and quite frankly, with some of his runs. And last but not least, as we told you before, who knows the playbook better than Brandon Jacobs? We know he knows what's going on. He could come in here probably without even two nights sleep and go through that playbook. We know he can pass protect. There's not a guy, a defensive back in the league that wants to blitz against him. There's not a linebacker in the league that's going to toss him or run him over. In fact, Brandon Jacobs can even pick up a defensive end. That's what he does. He's good in pass protection. For a lot of reasons, Brandon Jacobs makes a lot of sense to me. I'm just saying. Shakes from Baltimore. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello?
Yeah, man. You are on point today. You on fire. You are on fire.
Thank you, Shakes. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I agree with you on the Brandon Jacobs thing because, you know, I've been saying this all summer. And credit to you, you told me it won't be until after the preseason games. I thought it would be in camp that we pick up either Jacobs or Turner. I really wanted Jacobs, and I still do, because of pass protection, man. Pass protection, that is so big, and people just poop-pooping on it like it don't mean anything. They talking about Cox, throwing Cox in and throwing Scott in. None of them guys know how to pass protect. You going to try to get Eli killed? Come on, man. Now, Brandon Jacobs, like you said, he ain't been in the game for a year. Let's bring him back. I had a question for you, and I just wanted to say another thing that I agree with you on before I ask that question. That Ramsey Barton and Jernigan is not on this team. I didn't see anything from them, and they hurt themselves by being hurt, and we don't need that. We need everybody here, and it's crazy with the injuries. So I think maybe, nobody gets in, or maybe we bring in Chris. Well, I kind of like the Tyler kid, too. Maybe if we squeeze him in. My question for you is, though, because I like Austin. I like Marvin Austin. I think he should be on his team. And I'm loving Patterson. I wanted to know if, do you think that we can squeeze Patterson, Austin, James, Charles James I'm talking about, and there's another guy I was thinking about, but you think we can squeeze, Terrell Thomas. Those four in on a 53, if possible, you think we can?
It's going to be very, 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 very difficult to squeeze those guys on. Maybe one of them, but how are you going to get them all on? I mean, come on, Shakes. You and I both know this team has so many injuries right now. They got to worry about multiple positions, and they've still kind of committed themselves. Unless something changed this morning, their original plan was to keep three quarterbacks. And you and I both know that's going to take away from another position.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, you're asking for a lot.
I just don't want to see Austin go. I don't want to see him go because he go to somebody like, Washington loves our defensive tackles. And if he goes to Washington, we're in trouble.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm telling you what I told you before earlier in the program, if you didn't tune in. I suspect the front office, for other reasons, and I'm talking about length of contract, value of contract, age, still potential upside. There are four reasons there, okay, why you might want to keep Austin if you're the front office. I'm just saying I'm looking at plays.
You can't cut Patterson.
I'm just telling you. My eyewitness account, says that Patterson right now is the better player. Okay? Okay? But and for that reason, because that's all I care about, because I don't run the salary cap and I don't work these contracts and I didn't commit a second round draft choice to the player. I don't have any of these other ancillary things to worry about. I just stand on the sidelines and I watch the player. And I would personally like to see Patterson on the team. But again, that's not what the NFL is. The NFL is not a fantasy football game. All right, Shakes?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, I know. All right, man. I hope we can squeeze. But that's the last thing I'm going to say, man.
All right, good job today, man.
You did a good show, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you. 201-939-4513 is the number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino with you, and Andrew is on the telephone. Good morning.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
Yeah, listening to the show, you convinced me to re-sign Brandon Jacobs. But I just want to say real quick, that woman was wrong that said that you were a corporate man, and you, She took a shot at you. She said, plus, men are supposed to know more than women about football. And then she said she insulted you and said she's not going to call again. But I get a kick out of her, so I hope she does call. But Romo scares me, like you said. He burns the Giants when he rolls out of the pocket. And even when he has not a good game, at the end he'll roll out and he'll scramble. Plus, it's the first game of the season, so this is the games that usually Romo excels in, where Eli excels later in the season when the, you know, when the season's on the line, and Romo flops usually late in the season. So, but the question about running backs, Terrain, I always liked him, and was he on the practice squad last year? And I think he and
Well, he was hurt last year. He was not on the practice squad. He had had a fractured leg when the Giants picked him up. He had just completed his rehab. He passed the physical, and so they brought him on. And he was inactive at the back end of the roster. And they were kind of hoping that maybe this year he might be some insurance and some depth. But I'll be honest with you. As I've watched him during training camp, I haven't necessarily been very excited by his performance. I think he's kind of okay. Mm-hmm. But I do think, given what the Giants' needs are right now, he may not be the best fit.
Okay, thanks. I think, you know, he looked good. I compared him to Steven Jackson, but I guess that was, you know, I don't see him every day like you do. And Darrell Scott, he seems like he would be a decent backup and maybe a good kick returner. But so you convinced me we have to re-sign Jacobs, and he's healthy. So I'm psyched, and you're right, Eli's more laid back, and it's good to have someone fiery, like Antrell Rose, fiery on defense.
There you go.
I'm excited. Thanks, Paul.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much for the call. I'm going to make one thing very clear, folks. I'm not trying to convince anybody to do anything. Simply put, it's just my opinion that I see Jacobs being a good fit. Whether or not the front office agrees, well, that's certainly up to them to determine. You know, I can only say this. The first thing they need to do is find out exactly what condition Andre Brown is in before they even do anything else. They need to find out, is he going to be gone for a month? Is he going to be gone for half a season? Is it a season-ending injury? That's the first thing that has to happen before they address this running back spot, period. And I'm all for that. After that, okay. You ask me, who do I think fits the hole that they need to fill? Jacobs is my answer, but that's me talking, not Jerry Reese. Let me make that very clear. 201-939-4513 is our number on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Charlie from Portland, Maine, you are next on the program. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, I got a couple things. I agree. I mean, the Giants put a lot of faith in Andre Brown, and he's always been injured. And which is sad. I feel sad for the guy. But some guys in the league, they're just always injured. And I think it's the same with Andre Brown, whether he's gone for the year or six games or four games, it's just a matter of time. So I would cut bait, put him on IR, hopefully have him next year. And I would pick up Brandon Jacobs, and I would bring Kenny Phillips back. Now that Sash has got a concussion, he's going to be out for at least a week, if not two. And but I'll say one thing. I mean, if we all went back in June or March and said, hey, if the Giants come out with only one guy on IR for the year out, we'd be saying that's great. And so far, we've had a lot of nagging injuries, but we've only got one guy who's gone for the year. So I think that's pretty good compared to what we've been through the last two or three years. We had like about 10 guys on IR.
Well, again, so, we don't know exactly how long Andre Brown's out for, and you're suggesting maybe he should go on IR and out for the season. David Deal is a pretty significant injury, too, I might add. I mean, you know, they're talking 6 weeks for him. That's not exactly a cup of coffee.
6 weeks for who are you
David
saying?
Deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I think I would put him on IR, or at least maybe IR to come back in eight games. But I think it's time maybe to let him go, too. I just think there's too many, and we definitely got to go with two quarterbacks. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't really matter who's behind Eli. We ain't going to do anything, whether it's Carr, Painter, or Nassib. So you might as well put Nassib as your second quarterback, because if Eli's gone, we're not going to win anything anyway. So you might as well save that roster spot, keep some people that we really need to keep on the team that are just really good in the defensive line and the defensive ends, etc., and just go with the kids.
Well, Charlie, I'll say this. I want to just interrupt you for 1 second here. I'll say this. I do think that this morning, as these injuries have piled up, the Giants may be rethinking their three-quarterback scenario. I'm not saying that they are for sure, but I think it's possible because you're right. They've got a lot of positions to address now, and they've got a lot of uncertainty floating around because of these bumps and bruises. They would be foolish not to consider the two-quarterback scenario. And, in fact, Tom Coughlin told the broadcasters, myself included, before yesterday's game, that two quarterbacks was not out of the question. He didn't grade how likely it was, but he said it was not out of the question. And I think, you know, these injuries have to put that in play.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter who's behind Eli. We're not going to go anywhere. And if you're thinking, well, if he's just out for a couple of games, can somebody win a couple of games? Yeah, and it's going to have to be the defense and Josh Brown winning those games, no matter who the quarterback is. And if our defense is stout and Josh Brown seems to be a great kicker, he can kick long field goals, then we might win one or two of those games that Eli is out, God forbid he's ever out. But to me, it's like, you got this kid, go with him, you know?
I don't. All right, Charlie. I gotta run. I want to get some more people
that's
in.
Fine. Hey, have a great weekend, and we'll see what happens.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. Len from Maryland, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Paul. Great show today. Great
Thank
show.
Thank you.
Give me you know, quick opinion. That, you know, you've talked about Deal a little bit. What do you think? Is he going to make this roster?
Well, I think right now the Giants have to be very worried about their third tackle spot because if you don't have Deal, and we know he's out for 6 weeks, well, now it's about five or so since he got hurt, you're looking at Pugh at right tackle, Beatty at left tackle, and James Brewer is your swing tackle. That's kind of dangerous, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What you have to figure out now, is there a veteran tackle out there? And I'll tell you what. Somebody said it to me yesterday, and they're right. If Sean Locklear was healthy, I'd have brought him in here in a heartbeat, and I would have made him the third tackle, and everything would have been great. Yeah. My guess is that he hasn't recovered from the broken leg, which was broken in at least a couple of places, and his knee was messed up. So my guess is he couldn't pass a physical, and I don't think there's another tackle on the street right now that is worthy. Now, could that happen Sunday morning? That's possible, Len. I think it is very possible that the Giants wind up picking up somebody Sunday.
Okay, another quick one. If we go with two quarterbacks,
okay,
Nassib being the second quarterback, it is likely that both Painter and Carr are not going to get picked up. One might, the other might not. So we're talking about Nassib as a replacement for part of a game because one of those guys would get called back. I think if Eli in any way got nicked up and had to miss, two, three, 4 weeks, God forbid. But I think there's a distinct possibility, as you pointed out with the injury situation, that we're almost forced into going with two quarterbacks.
I don't think there's any doubt they'll consider it. They'll consider it, Len. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go because I really believe that if Eli were to be forced into a situation where he has to miss 2 to 4 weeks, and I've said this before, I think David Carr gives you a chance to compete. I don't think Ryan Nassib does.
Oh, I agree. I think if we go three quarters, I personally think Carr won that. I think Carr won that battle with Painter.
And he didn't have a great preseason either, Len. He really didn't. Neither one of them did. But
no,
I'm a Carr guy.
No, he didn't. Let me go to defensive tackle.
Real quick.
Sean Rogers is a man.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's a beast is what he is. He's a beast with a capital B.
Listen, he's doing what I wanted those. You've heard me talk about this all offseason, Paul, and thank God we're getting to the regular season here. But you've heard me talk about this all offseason where I wanted those defensive tackles to just pound those interior offensive linemen. Sean Rogers is pounding those interior linemen. And with Linville and Cullen Jenkins, and God, Big Hank, he seems to be sliding down. you got to keep Hankins on the roster, but he may, at this point, he may actually be the sixth defensive tackle. Now, he's going to make the team, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
In terms of what they've shown, Hank has probably slid down quite a bit. Now, help me with this, Paul, and if this is going to take long, we can get into it, you know, next week. When you look at the six defensive linemen are there, and I don't know enough about the X's and O's to know who's playing certain positions within those defensive linemen. I think I can line up the top six, but, I mean, it seems like you got almost four nose tackles and two off tackles.
Well, here's how you describe it. Len, to make it simple, I don't want to get into all the X's and O's because it's going to be too complicated for the fans.
Sure.
To make it simple, you got your pluggers, okay? Pluggers who are Rodgers, Patterson's a plugger, and Hankins is a plugger. Now, those guys are basically, they're wide bodies, they're strong, they're space eaters. What they try to do is either fill a gap or in fact, take on two guys and try to occupy two blockers at once to free up the linebackers or the DNs to do whatever they want to do. Then you have the other style of defensive tackle, of which Linval Joseph is. Linval Joseph is more of a shoot-the-gap guy, a one-on-one kind of guy. He is a guy who's going to more use his quickness and his athleticism. He might even be a penetrator. Okay?
Yeah.
Those are the two styles.
Now, are Jenkins and Austin behind Linval? Are we 3-3 in those two styles, Paul?
Well, I think...
Could that be a difference maker in picking the fifth tackle?
Well, there's no question that those three guys fit into that style, but Jenkins has the advantage of being able to play defensive end, which the other two guys can't.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was a 4-2 situation, and you say, "Well, look, we can't keep four pluggers." Now, but what you're saying is it's not. It's literally three and three.
Well, because I'm looking at Patterson now based on what I've seen in the preseason, he plays, because he's so stout like a fire hydrant, he plays like a plugger, even though he's not as big as your typical plugger would be.
Right. You know, there is a reason why we signed the guy, Paul.
Oh, I know. He did a lot of damage stopping the Giants' run over the years.
He wasn't just camp fodder.
No. He wasn't, but I thought, quite frankly, he was going to have a real hard time making the roster, and he certainly put up some good stuff. And look, if he gets cut, someone signed him on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. He's a football. He can play in the league.
Yes, he can. Len, I got to run.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go a few more minutes here because we did start a couple of minutes late as we had some technical issues. 201-939-4513. Steve from D.C., you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I kind of just tuned in because I tuned in early. I didn't know what happened to the show. So I was just sat by my cubicle and this looked pathetic. But anyway.
We're finally here, okay? Delay a game, but we're here.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I missed a lot of big questions. I was looking forward to the show, but I just wanted to know, what do you guys see happening with the running back position now? You know, obviously, like a lot of everybody else, I'm really bummed out about Brown. And I just want to see, you know, there's rumors about, you know, possibly bringing Jacobs in or all kinds of things. What do you guys think we're doing with the running back position?
All right, just to recap very quickly here, Andre Brown has what has been called by the Giants a slight fracture of his lower leg. It's the same leg that he fractured last year. Okay, and he is going for more tests today to determine the severity of the injury and some type of estimated time of return. He believes that he will be back before season's end. And right now, there's nothing to dispute that because he needs to have another test today. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know how many different things they're going to do to him, but they're going to try to isolate the problem and find out what they think he's going to have to do on the sidelines to get back. Okay? That's the way it is with Andre Brown. Now, clearly, he's going to be out for a while. I mean, that's obvious. So the Giants do have to bring somebody in, unless you believe that Ryan Terrain is a guy who can fulfill that role. I personally don't think so. I think Brandon Jacobs is the best fit, but that's just me. okay? Michael Turner's a guy that many people on the internet have talked about. He certainly would be a viable option, but he doesn't know the Giants playbook like Brandon Jacobs does. And quite honestly, I don't remember watching Michael Turner enough in pass protection to know if he has that aspect of the game down. I know Brandon Jacobs does. That I can tell you for sure because I saw him do it enough of times. Michael Turner, to me, as I remember watching him with the Chargers and the Falcons, was more of a ball carrier. I don't know how much he ever did in pass pro. Do you?
No. Let me ask you this because I know you probably guys going to get off soon. But can you guys grade the linebacker play? I thought Herzlick actually played a pretty good game last night. I liked his intensity. How do you guys grade the linebackers? Did you think anybody stood out?
Well, I think you pretty much know who your six linebackers are going to be, right? I mean, Connor, and I did read a report. I think it might have been Paul Schwartz of the Post said that Connor may have had a stinger in last night's game, but don't quote me on that. I do believe if you look that up on the internet, you may find that Paul Schwartz of the New York Post did write that. But you have Connor, you have Paisinger, you have Williams, you have Rivers, you have Herzlick. It seems to me, okay, it seems to me, and of course you have Bosworth as the sixth guy. It seems to me that after Herzlick had a really good offseason, then had a bad first two preseason games, he had a better final two preseason games. And so,
I agree.
Yeah, so he, I believe, will make the 53, but again, I do think that Connor did win the competition. At least in the preseason games, it was clear to me that Connor was the better fit, especially on first and second down.
Oh, I'm not the only one who thinks Eli is having some mechanics problems. I just feel like he's throwing off his back foot. He's not stepping into anything. His balls are coming out extremely high.
Well, I think, Steve, I believe that Eli Manning has been somewhat impacted by the shuffling of the offensive line. They've had four offensive lines through four preseason games. That's not very good. Obviously, he misses Victor Cruz. He obviously misses Henry Hanoski. Remember, he's also had three centers snapping him the ball. Booth, Cordell, and Boss have all taken turns at center. There's been a lot going on here to kind of screw up Eli Manning's karma. Now, he has not had a great camp. He has not had a great preseason. I'm just going to say I believe in him as a pro, that when the bell rings a week from Sunday, I think you'll see a better Eli Manning.
Well, let's all hope so. Hey, guys, I appreciate the show. Great show as usual. And I look forward to talking to you all next week.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the phone call. Paul Dottino with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It has been a fun hour. I can only say, folks, I remind you, tomorrow, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the cuts need to be into the league. Every team will go down from 75 to 53. Will your guys make the team? Do you have a particular favorite who you want to be here, who unfortunately may be asked to go home? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All I can tell you is this. There's no media avails tomorrow. So the Giants will post, I'm sure, on their Twitter page and on Giants.com, the cuts once they are available. Obviously, you can check me on Giants WFAN on the Twitter page and all the other media. Bottom line is, you'll know those names will come out. Those names will come out very, very quickly at the 6 o'clock deadline. Some may come out before. They may be rumors. They may be fact. Who knows? But at 6 o'clock, those names have to be into the NFL offices tomorrow night. And then you will have your 53 Giants. But I warn you, I don't believe that'll be the 53 against the Cowboys the following Sunday. I do believe there will be changes made over the course of the next 9 days till we get to that first game against the Dallas Cowboys. Folks, it has been fun. Don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is archived. If you want to listen to this program later on today, go to the website, giants.com/Big Blue Kickoff Live, and you'll be able to check us out in about an hour or so, and you'll be able to, again, listen to the program throughout the course of the day as you guys try to figure out your final 53, and then we'll be back once again on Monday. This is Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.